Some Hutt Valley High School classrooms are so mould-riddled, the principal believes they're beyond repair. Up to 500 of the high school's senior students will be forced to study from home for 2.5 days a week next term because 13 classrooms have been closed by toxic mould. The school's acting principal, Denise Johnson, told Morning Report the school has had to reach crisis points to get a response from the Ministry of Education.
There's been no proactive thought, but I mean, this was a train wreck waiting to happen. And it's been growing over the last 10 years that I've been involved in the school with constant communication with the Ministry and the property team regarding the state of our buildings.
The Education Ministry's property spokesperson, Scott Evans, told RNZ that he believes they've done a good job handling the issue. We have had a ton of feedback on this story. This parent says there are no heat pumps in that block. My daughter takes a hottie and a merino blanket to school and they get a hot cup of tea on really cold days. Another listener texting us 2101 saying, yet again, the Ministry of Education's ineptitude is shown. Black mould has been known for years at that school. The ministry needs to take responsibility and heads should roll.
Another parent of a Year 12 student at the school texts, you need to get prefabs in there quick and rebuild ASAP. And Lynn says the issue yet again highlights the long-term incompetence of the Ministry of Education's management. The school building stock nationwide surely must have a maintenance and replacement plan. Who manages this? Get him or her on air and ask what the hell they are doing. School principals shouldn't be spending their time chasing ministry for additional maintenance funds. The situation is crazy.
Another person says, Kia ora. I work in a primary school classroom which rains inside with a southerly. The problem at Hutt Valley High School is not isolated. And another one from a teacher of 30 years, it's on the other side of this though, saying schools overspend on extras and never spend on maintenance. Well, let's talk now with Miranda Cross, a mother of four whose oldest child is in Year 12 at the school. Kia ora, Miranda.
Morena, Susie.
Your child's in Year 12, so for 2.5 days next term is going to be studying at home. What does this mean? What's this going to be like?
Well, I guess, Year 12 and 13 students have got some experience of this from last year. We have to remember this is the same students who were in lockdown last year and were affected with home learning, particularly our Year 13s who, I mean, we know Year 12 is a really tough year at school. They did their home learning last year and they're going to be back doing it again this year. And, I mean, parents, I speak on behalf, I know, of all of the Year 12 and 13 parents at school. We're really concerned for them. We're concerned for their health and wellbeing, their mental health and wellbeing. This has just been compounded in terms of the impacts of COVID.
Yeah, how stressful is this for the students and I guess also uncertain times for the parents?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I know there's reports of kids in tears at school yesterday once the news broke and it was confirmed. They would be learning from home 50% of the time next term. For parents as well, it's really anxious times. And I've even talked to my son about, I'm kind of lucky that he is a relatively motivated and self-driven learner. But, you know, even for him, you know, being at home by himself 2.5 days a week is different. Last year, we were all home. You know, we had quite a structured approach. We were all having to work and learn from home, whereas, you know, them being at home by themselves is quite a different prospect. So contemplated talking about, you know, should I work from home 1 or 2 days a week or something like that just to help support his learning and maybe I can support the learning of others who have parents who perhaps aren't as privileged to be able to have that flexibility working from home.
At the end of the day, though, the school is meant to be providing this sort of support and are unable to do so because of the situation of this building. Yes, it's stressful, but are you angry about this too? And if so, whereabouts is your anger directed?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, just, you know, focusing on some of the principal's comments this morning, you know, this isn't a new issue. This isn't something that only came to light to the ministry in March. This is something that has been ongoing for many years. The ministry has a number of reports sitting in front of it now has had for a number of years around the state of the buildings. My concern, I suppose, is that I don't want to hear from some of the things I've heard from the ministry officials this morning. I don't want us to be sitting in a situation of more reports and more investigations going on when, from my perspective, what I can see is abundantly clear that the building needs to be replaced, it needs to be brought down, what the focus needs to be on how you do that safely. Again, looking at lessons learnt from around the country and even within our region, there are a number of schools with the same, exactly the same design building as the Seabot building. They've all been brought down in the last few years, and that's just within our region alone. So we've got to learn from those experiences as well, rather than delaying getting more evidence. I think the evidence is there, and the ministry needs to act on it and act on it really fast so that it can minimise the impact on our kids.
Yeah, the ministry this morning telling us that, you know, since they found out about this on, I think it was the 25th of March, not that long ago, you know, they've responded well. But you're saying, and indeed the school's saying, this isn't the first time that this has been highlighted. So what do you make of the ministry's position?
No, look, there was a formal assessment provided 2.5 years ago. Even the Denise Johnson mentioned that there was the ministry itself commissioned a report around work that needed to be done, and the cost estimate was $10 million. Now we hear this morning that, the school should be able to do it. We've given them $2 million. Well, where's the other $8 million going to come from? The school has had to also ask parents, on top of other school donations, to pay a specific infrastructure donation to try and do their best to actually even just maintain the school, as you've heard from Denise Johnson this morning as well. The reality is that in terms of the rubber hitting the road, is that we need more money and we need it fast.
The infrastructure donation, how much is that and how able are parents to pay it? I mean, notwithstanding whether they should have to pay it or not.
Yeah, no, and they don't have to. You know, it is a donation and the school recognises that. And there are some parents who are simply not in a position to be able to pay that. We're lucky that we are. And it's one of those donations that changes with the number of students you have at the school. And I can't remember off the top of my head how much it is. But we pay a couple of hundred dollars a year for that infrastructure donation.
Thank you very much. Miranda Cross there, a mother of four, whose oldest child is in year 12 at Hutt Valley High.